the main theme of our study. There's a good midnight Bible story in Acts 12, which we're working our way to, that involves Peter. We've been doing a lot of background on the life of Peter, so we have a real good familiarity with who Peter is and what the Lord has brought him through. And we see a lot of growth in Peter's life these last few weeks as we've looked at his history. And in the 10th chapter of Acts, just to bring you up to speed a little bit, we find Peter's in Joppa. He was there in the last parts of the 9th chapter of Acts. And then there was a man in Caesarea, about 35 miles away, named Cornelius, a centurion. He was an Italian. A centurion was over 100 soldiers. It is thought that these soldiers were assigned to the governor, which would have been King Agrippa I at that time, there in Caesarea. That's where they headquartered. Cornelius, he was given a vision to send to Joppa for a guy named Peter. So he sent a soldier and two of his servants up to Joppa to find Peter. While they were coming, the Lord gave Peter a vision that there were some men coming, and doubting nothing, you were to go with them. And he told him some other things there you can read about. And we'll connect the dots here this morning with this. Peter finally gets to the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius falls down at his feet, and it says to worship him, but he was giving him a greeting that Peter wasn't familiar with. And Peter said, in verse 26, stand up. I myself also am a man, so you're not to be worshiping me, you know. Worship God. We went over that last week. So after this awkward introduction, and you got to realize that Peter didn't want to go to a house of a Gentile to begin with, and now here's all this other stuff going on, and he must have felt like, okay, I'm going to get this over with. Maybe nobody know I was here. And I'll get out of here, and yeah, I'll be good. But he had six other guys with him, Peter did, and they were all Jews, of course. And so it was an awkward introduction, but Peter and Cornelius then had a brief discussion concerning the excessive respect Cornelius had shown Peter, and Acts 10:25 indicates that Cornelius probably greeted Peter outside the door of his home. So as they continued into his house, we read in Acts 10:27, and as he talked with him, Peter, as he talked with Cornelius, he went in and found many that were come together. Now this was an unexpected crowd that was found in Cornelius' house, but they were there because Cornelius had invited them to his house to hear Peter. Think about that. That's quite a step of faith. There's a guy coming named Peter, and he's gonna say some things to us, and I want you to be there to hear it. But Peter hadn't come yet. Yeah. So was Cornelius a man of faith? Obviously, yes. And so Peter goes in the house, and this crowd probably caught him somewhat off guard. But again, the Holy Spirit had encouraged Peter in Acts 10:19 and 20 to go to the house of Cornelius nothing doubting. And I imagine as he went, it took him a couple days to get there. He's probably rehearsing in his mind, what am I going to say? I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that, you know. And that's the way we are, you know, think about it. And so Peter got to the house of Cornelius, nothing doubting. And then Peter addresses those in Cornelius's house, as well as Cornelius in the next verses, but we'll read starting in Acts 10:28. And he said unto them, Peter is talking here, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. Gainsaying is not a common word to us, but it means I came to you without hesitation or reluctance or without questioning or without objection. In other words, I came doubting nothing, as he was instructed to do. As soon as I was sent for, then Peter asked a question. He says, I ask therefore, for what intent have you sent for me? That's a good question. And so the rest of Acts chapter 10 gives the answer to this monumental historic occasion. Reading on here in Acts 10:30, and this is Cornelius answers Peter. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? Now we know who Peter was and we know who Cornelius was, but as it is apparent from reading this chapter that neither of them knew each other, nor had they even heard of each other until the Lord brought them together here in Acts 10. And Cornelius has made it very plain and very clear that they were gathered together in his house to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now, we're going to get to this, but I want to get you some background here. We're going to next read about Peter's third Holy Ghost-inspired sermon found in Scripture. And it's just as remarkable as the first two sermons that were found in Scripture. One's in Acts 2, one's in Acts 3. And we also briefly looked at those sermons earlier in this study. And we looked at this one also here in Acts 10. Remember, there's a lot of threes associated with Peter. Yeah, because Peter's just like you and us, you and me. He didn't get it the first time. He probably didn't get it the second time. So about the third time or beyond, he gets it. And so let's look at some interesting facts. First of all, the sermon we're going to read here in Acts 10 is the shortest of Peter's three sermons recorded in the Bible. And it contains 10 verses. 34 through 43 is the sermon there in Acts 10. These 10 verses can lead any soul, any lost soul, to the path of salvation proving once again that 10 is the number having to do with responsibility according to ability. Stated in one way, our responsibility as a man is to believe in God and his ability. Thus, in so doing, God becomes responsible to man. Remember what Hebrews 11:6 tells us? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, I ask, did Cornelius diligently seek God? Yes, he did. And God, by miraculous ways and methods, sent Peter to the house of Cornelius to preach a very short, Holy Ghost-inspired sermon of 10 verses, through which all in the house were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. How many were saved before Peter preached? We're not told. But we'll get to that. Now, this sermon that we find here in Acts 10, we wonder how many over the centuries since Peter spoke these words have become a believer because of this sermon. And only God knows the answer to that question. And so we find that the impact of this 10-verse sermon of Peter's reaches down to us today because we're still studying Peter's sermon. I don't think Peter had any idea that what he said there that day would be recorded by the Holy Ghost in Scripture for us to read 2,000 years later. Let's read Peter's short sermon starting in Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth, and who took over? The Holy Ghost, and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Remember the dreamy, the vision he had there? And earlier in this chapter, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Of course, Cornelius was this kind of man. Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of the Jews. No, it's not what it says. Peter had pondered this in his mind, no doubt, and he had to come to the conclusion he's Lord of all. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. That word, verse 37, I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John the Baptist preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And Peter goes on here in verse 39 and says, and we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people. That reference is to the Jews. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. How many sermons have been preached from this verse, verse 43? Now, before we examine this sermon any further, I want to kind of give a little bit of something else to think about, some things to note. There were three phases in Peter's life in which he acknowledged Jesus as Savior. And each phase took Peter to a deeper knowledge of Christ. The first phase is found in John 6. You can turn there. And I think this does us good to review this kind of thing, get our thought process, how it is as we grow with Christ. John 6:67, we'll start there. And we find in this portion Peter's confession of faith. And Jesus there says, "Then said Jesus to the 12, 'Will you also go away?' Then Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Now, in these verses, we find Peter, who seems to be the spokesman for all of the apostles and their leader. And Peter was sure that Jesus was Christ, the Son of the living God, and he was sure Jesus had the words of eternal life. In that regard, Peter was acknowledging Jesus as his Savior, but Peter never really got to know the depths of Jesus as Savior until after the day of Pentecost, when Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Our second account takes us to the fifth chapter of Acts, and this is after he was filled with the Holy Ghost. This was after Jesus was died and rose again. And we find, again, Peter acknowledging that Jesus is the mighty Savior to Israel in Acts 5:29-32, which reads, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said," and they were speaking to the Sanhedrin here, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Now, we move on down the road to our time here in Acts 10, because the Holy Ghost was working on Peter some more. And now, Peter comes to that time when he's in the house of Cornelius. He acknowledges again in the house of Cornelius Jesus. And this is that we see Peter's spiritual growth in the fact that Jesus is Redeemer and Savior of all mankind, as Peter acknowledges him as such here. Peter states in Acts 10:34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" Well, this was a step beyond where he'd been, you know, as he recognizes this. In verse 35, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Peter acknowledges this. In verse 43, "To him," to Jesus, "give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins." So these steps that we've seen of Peter's acknowledging Christ as Savior, he first acknowledged that Jesus was his Savior in John 6. Secondly, that Jesus was Israel's Savior in Acts 5. And now, thirdly, that Jesus is the Savior of whosoever from any nation that believeth in him. So it kind of gives a little bit more meaning to the words that Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:18, which is in concrete out here in that verse on the front of the church, because this became the theme of Peter's life. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did Peter grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he walked the walk that he had, the path that he was given? To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And that was his final words that he wrote to us. Continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't know it all the day we're saved. A baby that's born doesn't know nothing. Neither does a new born again Christian. They need to learn about Jesus. Okay, now back to the sermon Peter preached in Cornelius' house in Acts 10. And you got to recognize that Peter learned as much from this sermon, if not more, than those who heard it did. When I was a flight instructor, you had to get a license to instruct. It's called CFI, Certified Flight Instructor. My instructor that taught me to fly told me, get a CFI and learn to fly. Meaning, as you teach others to fly, you're going to be learning stuff yourself. As I study for Sunday school, I learn a lot myself before I can give it to you guys, right? Okay, so you got to realize that Peter did learn much from this sermon, probably more than those who heard it did. And as Peter began to speak, he had one of them aha moments, like, oh, yeah, wow. Because he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He realized this as he said this. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That's in Acts 10, 34 and 35. This is further proof, further confirmation that Peter had learned the lesson he got in the vision a few days ago on the roof of Simon the Tanner's house. And what he was told there was, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common, in Acts 10, 15. Well, this very same theme is expressed by Peter to those in Cornelius' house in Acts 10, 28. You know, he says there, how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And so the fact that God is no respecter of persons should be one of the highlighted points that you take from Peter's sermon here. God is no respecter of persons. Proverbs 28:21, it tells us this is the very same thing. It says it this way, Proverbs 28:21. To have respect of persons is not good. Well, that was written by Solomon, wisest man that ever lived. To have respect of persons is not good. And the Apostle Paul repeated this thought in Romans 2:11. Romans 2:11 says this, for there is no respect of persons with God. Paul couldn't have been a apostle to the Gentiles if he had been a respecter of persons. And perhaps Paul is making a reference to what was said in Deuteronomy 10:17. And Deuteronomy 10:17 says this: "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible." And that word terrible means to greatly be feared. "Which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." And I'll give you a couple more similar thoughts that are written in Paul's gospel. One's in Ephesians 6:9, and the other's in Colossians 3:25. Ephesians 6:9 says this: "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him." And again, in Colossians 3:25, Paul stated this: "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Now, turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter. And we find that years after departing the house of Cornelius, Peter wrote a little bit about what he had learned here. And I want you to see this as we read in 1 Peter 1:17, a few verses starting in 1 Peter 1:17. "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." God is no respecter of persons. Now, as we continue this, and before we get further in the detail of Peter's sermon that he preached in the house of Cornelius, I want to do a quick review of some of the things Jesus said to his disciples after his death and resurrection. And I want you to turn to Luke 24, because there we find it probably stated the best. And it'll make us have a little greater appreciation of what was spoken by Peter at Cornelius' house. We'll start with Luke 24:32. And as we get to this portion, I want you to remember from Luke 24 that this chapter was about after his resurrection. And on the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to two disciples on their way to Emmaus. And they knew not that it was Jesus who walked and talked with them. And as they walked along, Jesus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them the scriptures concerning himself. And as evening approached, they constrained Jesus to eat with them. And after he had blessed the food, their eyes were opened, and they knew that it was the resurrected Jesus himself who had walked and talked with them this day. And suddenly Jesus vanished from their sight. And so this is the point where we begin reading in Luke 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up that the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and so would have you and me been. And suppose that they had seen a spirit, and he saith unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and it did eat before them. And he saith unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Did you catch that verse? I want you to get it. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, that is the Holy Ghost, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So why did we review this particular portion of scripture? To point out a couple of things that Jesus himself told his disciples. And again, one of the important points is in verse 47, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And obviously, by this time, when Peter's at the house of Cornelius, Peter and the other apostles had preached repentance and remission of sins starting at Jerusalem. And up to this point in time, they had preached exclusively to the Jews. So when Peter got to the house of Cornelius, he certainly began to preach to those of other nations, as Jesus said to do. The second important point we want to make here concerns what Jesus said in Luke 24:48. "And ye are witnesses of these things." The Greek word for witnesses here is martus. It's number 3144 in a Strong's Greek concordance. And it has a double meaning. Witnesses means an eyewitness. And martus can also mean a martyr, which is how it is translated in Acts 22:20 concerning Stephen, and in Revelation 2:13, and in Revelation 17:6. So After following Jesus for 3+ years and living with him most of the time, Peter had definitely witnessed some things, hadn't he? Some incredible things. And he and the other disciples couldn't properly explain what they had witnessed without the power of the Holy Ghost being upon them. And this is exactly why Jesus explained to them in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things," and note this part, "and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And then in Acts 1:8, Jesus had told his disciples, and Peter was there when he said this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses," that same word, martis, "unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth." Real quick, Acts 10:39, note that Peter said in Cornelius' house, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did." Right? We'll get into that a little bit more next time if the Lord tarries.